And welcome, guys, to episode 9 of the Hexperts Battletech podcast, Touching Lances, 3025 Lance Review. Your host this evening are myself, Lewis. We've got Tom over there.
Hello.
We've got Nathan down there. He was there.
Hello.
He's back. And then we've got Dom over there.
Konnichiwa.
And we've got special guest this evening, Ian, who's over that way.
Hello.
Now, before we go a bit further on, Ian, who are you?
What's up?
Who are you, Ian? Who are you? You're friend of the podcast from our local group. Should we ask you some questions to kind of get so people get the gist of who you are and if they'd love or hate you?
No, I'll just do, I've got a 15-minute monologue. I'm ready to go.
Oh, no. How about we just go over a couple of questions and then we add that in at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So, Ian, how did you get into Battletech?
Three or so years ago.
I was like, don't say I bullied you into playing because this is becoming a bit of a...
Well,
no. Shh.
3 or so years ago,
yeah.
Lewis did an intro game for me and 3 other people. We all had a mech. They were all 3025 tech. All extremely undergunned and extremely over-armored. So after 3.5 hours, no one learned any rules apart from, can you work out pause to hit +2/+2. Turns out we all could. And then
we just started 4+2+2.
Yeah. So one sec, I've got a calculator.
That's too much for me. That was hard enough for me that day. So
2 years later, yeah. I decided to try Battletech again.
Yeah.
And I had an intro game. I'm not sure if it was you or Tom or who did it.
I think we perfected the intro game from that point a little bit better. So
that was for the Irana?
Yeah, we were doing the Aurelian Reach.
We did that little campaign where I quickly learned that autocannons are sick, but King Crabs are not the platform for them.
They're not bad.
I just don't get anywhere.
Calm down, Nathan, calm down.
Yeah, it's been about 18 months, I'd say, just over.
Feels like longer.
Of playing Battletech almost every week, I think. I had a little break when Old World came out, and then the community curb stomped my enthusiasm for that, so that was cool. And yeah, just solid Battletech now.
Sick.
I play Tom an awful lot, because we both kind of like measuring our manliness against one another.
Manliness? Do you mean
you measure your lances?
Measuring your lances, maybe the length of your autocannons.
It's very true. I do love a big lance.
Put your penetrators against each other.
Super.
I haven't got a penetrator. I do have quite a wicked Lancelot, though.
Yeah, Lancelot is cool. Oh. Anyway, Ian, so do you have a favourite mech?
Ooh. I don't know what it is. Because it changes almost weekly.
I've seen you run the Axeman quite a lot.
Yeah, Axeman's pretty cool, but I think it's the 2N, which is odd, because it's just a better catapult.
it's a controversial choice, that one.
That's cool.
It is a controversial choice.
Ian, you should feel bad for choosing that particular.
I'm not saying that you need to feel bad. I'm just saying that it's not like a definite favorite. That one's like it's got a different. What's the word? It's not everyone's favorite.
Just so the listeners know, this is sort of like the dictator of this podcast.
I'm not a dictator.
Just tell them all what to
do. Whatever he says, go. So we hate Ian.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's not a clear cut, easy choice, Meg. It's not one that everyone chooses, which is cool. I like the Axeman. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, the 2N takes quite a few games to get used to because you want to use it like the AC-20 version, but it's not. I think Bushwhacker. I think that's my actual favorite mech, and I think it should have a succession like a 3025 version.
Like a prototype one.
It should just have a prototype one because it's just a cool 55 tonner.
It's a cool little mech. I'd not really looked at it until recently. I thought it was. Didn't have the guns it did, but it's actually got some pretty cool guns. And favorite faction? Any faction you prefer to play? Maybe a certain mercenary company?
I am I have quite the draw to the ELH, just because they've got a nice storied history. They fight with honor, unless someone's a really bad guy, and then they hamstring them and let them starve in the desert.
Yeah, that seems fair.
But yeah, ELH probably.
If the ELH were fighting Lewis,
they would not. They would not put me in the desert. No, I'm not a bad man.
This would go straight into that death.
No. This should not be in the desert. Anyway, last question, the one that's going to trigger Tom into doing some more hot takes is, do you have a preferred game system out of the two? Or do you like both of them equally? Of Alpha Strike and Total Warfare /Classic/Battletech TM.
Genuinely depends on the time. Like, if I have an hour, I'd like a little classic mercenary campaign, a little 2v2.
Yep.
If I've got a few hours, I'll do Lance on Lance, like classic.
Yeah.
If we're doing one game for the whole day, I'd probably choose Alpha Strike and just have like a big four people at the table. We all bring full company and just do that.
See, Tom.
Because once you, with many people and food breaks and beer, I think Alpha Strike's the game, just because it's so, even a child could play it.
See there, Tom. People can like both systems. You don't need to, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think playing it at a high level takes skill, but I think just getting into it and just rolling dice while you're drinking and chatting, Alpha Strike's the game for that.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll get moving on with the podcast then. So tonight, as you might have gathered with the title Touching Lances, we're going to be talking about Battletech Lances. Nathan's going to go through some history of Lances, and then we're going to talk through some of our own 3025 lances and some listener/viewer-submitted lances, and talk through them and maybe a little review and see which ones we like out of them, which ones we don't, which ones need to go in the bin, etc., etc. But before all that, let's have a little talk through some hobby progress news and events. So hobby progress, myself, I painted a mobile HQ truck. It's not the most exciting thing. I quite like it. It was a little fun little truck fella. It's fun, and hopefully get to use him in some games soon. And I've been doing some more practice with Aces so I can actually learn the game system, because there's lots of little intricacies and rules differences you need to know, because if you don't know them when they come up, they might catch you out.
And Aces is the AI.
Yes.
Sort of card-based battle tech, right?
Yeah, I think I just need to read through rules again, just make sure I've got them all settled in my head. Because there's certain situations where the mechs are that you need to double check. They'll do certain things that I need to make sure I know what they'll do is their default behavior in those situations. But yeah, that's pretty much me. Tom, do you have any hobby that you've done for us?
Oh, Lewis. Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
No, for once, I actually painted a bunch of Battletech.
This is good
news. I know, it's crazy. I finished off the Rolling Thunder Company.
Yeah.
Finally, it's all done, which is so cool. They look amazing, which I know he's slightly blown my own trumpet, but I'll be honest, sucks to suck. They look great. And then, you know, they're all cool, three lances plus a commander. So that's really cool. I also finished off, which I have next to me, the NAIS research cadre, which is pretty cool, using the new RISC RASC stuff. So hyper lasers, beating TSEMP. Basically, a load of stuff that's slightly better but can blow up. The explosions, obviously, very much my vibe, which didn't. So when I used them against Mike yesterday, they performed admirably. I am never going to use TSEMP ever again, because it's a feels bad and is just really expensive. Either you do nothing or you make everyone else feel sad times.
What's a T-Simp?
Tight stream electromagnetic pulse. It's a long range. It's not a battle mech taser, because that exists. It's like, basically, it shuts down mechs. So you roll to hit, and then you roll to see whether you shut the enemy down. It's either you do or you don't, so either you're wasting a load of BV on something that does nothing, or you're shutting a mech down.
Yeah, and also you're not just using T-Semp, you're using repeating T-Semp as well, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. So this is the cool bit that Risk has. It's repeating, which means you can shoot every single turn. Which
was... Have you ever played a first-person shooter, Dom?
Is it a railgun?
No. You know when someone throws a stun at you and you can do absolutely nothing for like 5 seconds?
That's a T-SIMP.
That's a T-SIMP. Oh, okay. It just feels bad.
And then imagine someone doing that every 5 seconds.
Yeah, Ian, Dom only plays FIFA and Marvel Rivals. That's all he knows.
Oh.
Yeah. Fair analogy. It's like when someone does cause scumming on you during a FIFA game.
Yeah, or if Electro in Marvel Rivals electrocutes you and makes you stand there being zapped for a bit.
I don't think
either way. Marvel Rivals. Either way, it was cool. The game was cool. Everything else was cool. But yeah, T-Semp is just a feels bad and I just won't use it again. But it was just on the Icarus that I was using. So I wanted to try it out.
I'm sure you use it against Ian at some point.
Yeah, probably against Ian. But I mean, anytime I play Ian, it's no holds barred both ways. So
because you and Ian are like rivals, right? You are like notoriously like always fighting one another in the street, in the parking lot. Of our game club on the Battletech arena maps on the hexes.
Yeah.
Battling, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's what we're best at. But yeah, that was me this week. Cool. I immediately started something else, the Black Thorns, which is another scenario pack, like Lance kind of thing. I think it's two Lances, like, so it's an understrength company. So I'm going to do that now.
Is it a little bit later? Is there nothing you need to be doing for a certain expos coming up that you're getting quite close?
I can't think of anything like this.
I'm getting a bit worried about you, Tom. I can't run out of time.
I can't think of any problems, Lewis. I don't know what you can talk about.
We trust you, Tom.
You know there's like battle conventions?
There is.
Why are they not called the Hexpos?
Because we have that trademarked, and we've had that trademark for like 40 years. I went back in time and did that.
Oh, God.
Otherwise, they probably would be. But yeah, I thought obviously that's Tom done. Nathan, have you got much done? I don't know if you had a chance to get much done.
So my entire hobby last week was I got home from Turkey, literally turned on the computer, slapped some images out, recorded the last episode. And then after that, it's just been bolt action. I've painted like 1,100 points of Italians, and then the weekend I've gone to the Welsh Nationals. Don't know, I think it's Welsh Open every time I say it. But yeah, went there, played both games, lovely people, lovely tone, great venue, Firestorm Games.
Yeah,
go there if you're ever near Cardiff.
Yeah, Firestorm definitely always looks good. I've not been myself, but the images of it make you quite jealous.
And Nathan, aren't you the youngest man in bolt action?
I have to be, yeah. Unless there's like some... Yeah, I'm like half the age of almost everyone else there. Nah, to be fair, there was quite a few people my age. Like, there was like 26, 27-year-olds. But yeah, for the most part, it is like 40-plus club. Yeah, have any of you guys been to Firestorm other than me?
I've not been. Ian, have you been?
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I had my snack day, actually.
I thought you'd been there for that.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, I've been a couple of times. I went down there for a Heresy event a while ago. It was really nice.
So it's got some Battletech stock, which is cool.
Only some, though. It only had the second...
Star League.
Oh, what is it? Yeah, second Star League box with the Dashi. Or Doishi.
Prometheus.
Went there.
Yeah.
Got a draw first game. I won the second one and got absolutely mullered the third one. Drew 4-1 on the Sunday and got just beaten in the last game with an hour left of the round.
Super. And he's come back.
But yeah.
He's come back with some nasty plans for what he's going to do to people in bolt action going forward.
Oh, definitely. Lots of artillery.
Disgusting.
But yeah, I got 18th out of 22, which for my first, like, technically, like, professional high-level tournament thing, not too bad, especially with the Italians. And I got the most sporting, which you can see on the, I can't remember, it's like the Welsh Wargaming Club. You can see me holding it, not looking at the camera at all.
Oblivious.
Yeah, it's a nice little coaster, and I got some prizes as well. So yeah, That's been my hobby for the week.
You know what they say, don't you? That the most sporting prize is the...
It's the best prize.
The most important.
Yep.
Is the most important.
The experts, just so everyone knows, the experts disagree with that. The only prize that matters is number one.
Next time I go, I'm hoping to get the first place prize, the most kills, the least deaths, the most sporting. But I can't get the best Welshman because obviously I'm not Welsh. So
not yet, anyway. Not unless you go back in time with the time machine. Also, you
live there for 3 years.
Yeah. Also, you need to probably
do what? So he's going to go back in time with the time machine, and then what?
I don't know.
Find a Welsh man to. I'm not even
take his identity.
Yeah, sure. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, that's it. Now, obviously, or if you really want to do well, just bring yourself, just bring a locust, just 28 mil locust, and be fine.
I think a couple of targets could take it down.
What? Incorrect.
Shot to the cockpit and he's down.
Definitely incorrect. But yeah. Is that all your hobby then, Nathan?
Yep, that's everything.
Super. Well, hopefully we'll get you back on the mix next week. Cool. Dom, have you done any more hobbying? Painted any mechs up?
Okay, so.
Yeah.
I've spoken about hobby burnout recently.
Yeah.
What I have done is I went to a, what would you call it, maybe a wargaming bring and buy car boot sale.
Yeah.
I would probably say it's something like that. Anchorage. Anchorage is a small village in the West Midlands, and everyone there is 80 years old, but every 4 months, a bunch of sweaty nerds from across the local area pile into a community centre and sell their unwanted war games, miniatures and paraphernalia.
And you've been there, Dom?
That's where I went this weekend, and do you want to hear what I purchased while I was at this community centre?
Go on, Dom. Hopefully it's some mechs.
You know what, actually?
Yeah.
There were some Battletech mechs there.
What?
There was also a Tom there.
Tom was there.
I was present. I was selling myself.
Oh.
Actually. Okay.
You didn't mention that in your section,
Tom. So you're out here lying on the Hexworks podcast.
I can't believe this.
I'm so sorry.
So yeah, Tom, just to confirm, Tom is used goods and he is available for a low price. So I bought some stuff for the Old World.
Yeah.
I bought two war wagons, which is like it's a box with wheels being pulled by horses full of blokes.
Yeah.
The taxi, but there's a bloke with a gun in it and a guy with a mace. And I bought some outriders and I bought some engineers as well for my Old World line. So that was pretty fun.
Yep.
No Battletech mechs purchase this time. But who, you know what? Honestly, who knows? You know, the Hexperts podcast is really growing on me. And I'm sure at one point in the future, potentially, I could end up accidentally buying some mechs.
I should hope so. It's 9 episodes now.
Well, you know, 9 episodes, how long is a piece of string, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, hopefully at some point maybe I'll fall onto some Battletech models and have to paint them. But
don't fall onto them, they'll hurt you. Some of them are quite spiky.
I'm strong.
No,
I'm built like a big oak tree. So, yeah, pretty cool time. It's a bank holiday in the UK at the moment, which for our American viewers is, that's like when you get to rest from work.
They don't do that.
Pretty crazy.
They don't do that.
No, they're not allowed.
Do that.
Because we live in a socialist hellhole.
That is true.
Other than that. Pretty good.
Cool. Any hobby then, Dom? Or was it just buying?
Yeah, I just told you my hobby is just buying the thing.
No, but I meant like if you might have
it'll sit in the wardrobe and never get painted.
Okay.
That's surely the most ubiquitous part of being a war gamer, isn't it? Just buying things and never doing anything with them.
Okay, that's technically true. Well, that's fine then, Dom.
Feeling cold, I don't know.
Well, Ian, as our special guest, have you done any cool hobby this week?
I have finished off a Lance for House Kamata of the Capellan Confederation. Jesus. Tom and I are doing a Battletech Asian flavour, I think we call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've decided to call it. So he's doing the Draconis Combine, and I am doing the Compellan Confederation. And yeah, so I've done a little lance for those. They look sick. I've decided to take some artistic liberties. Instead of doing a snake, I've done a Chinese dragon motif, like up and across and around the legs and stuff of the mechs. Yeah, just that. And been extremely poorly, which you can obviously still hear.
hear the end of that anyway.
Yeah. So if your mech got sort of a tramp stamp on it, effectively. A sexy tramp stamp.
More like...
wrap around, isn't it?
More like 90s tribal, where...
okay.
At the time, it looks really cool. And then you have to... thing. Yeah, then you get 10 years older and you meet someone's parents, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Sounds like you're talking from experience there, Ian.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Cool. Well, is that all you got up to, Ian?
Yep.
Cool. Well, that is hobby for us this week. Definitely this week, I'm going to remember to do the Instagram because I haven't done it for like 2 weeks. So hopefully all of the other hosts and Ian might send me across some images to put up. I think we can put like 20 images now, so we can probably put everything we've done over the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. Also, wait, we have an Instagram.
Yeah.
What's our Instagram handle?
It's Hexperts_BattleTech_podcast. I think there's the whole 30 people that follow us on there.
Link in description.
Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, etc. Ring that bell as well if you do.
Ring that bell and follow us on... oh, we don't have X.
So we don't.
And we don't.
Never will.
Never. No, we're not allowed. So yeah, so that's hobby. Let's move on to some news then. Some news, like the previous weeks, have done nothing too crazy. However, we have started to see some of the BattleTech Gothic sets starting to trickle into some of the online stores with the ETAs of June. So quicker than I thought we might see it. I don't know if we'll see it in June, but the Americans might see it in June.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not too far behind on them, especially with all these hubs appearing for Australia and the UK at some point. But hopefully, yeah. So June-ish, we might start seeing Gothic, the actual box set, and they've got the salvage boxes for Gothic, which is the mechs from the box inside them, which is pretty cool. So looking forward to those.
Is Gothic that really bad game people want?
No, this is Gothic's not the really bad. Gothic is the grimdark themed game. You've decided that you're now on the side of of hating the game, but it's
you're saying I'm on the right side of history is what you're saying.
Well, we'll see. I suppose in June if you were on the right side of history, I think I'm looking forward to it. It's be a nice kind of painting experience, painting up some of these mechs in grimdark styles and with a slightly different theme to it. I think, are you guys still all keen to give it a go? Dom's not, obviously.
I am. Yeah, Nathan's just waiting to see all the cool little dino miniatures, all of the abominations.
I think they're on the way, but I don't know if they'll be out in June. Tom, are you still keen?
Yeah, of course. I love an urban mech. It's still going to be shit, but I do like it.
Yeah,
and Ian, abominations, man.
Yeah, so Ian, cool. If you've seen Gothic, are you keen on this, or are you going to let it pass?
I'm going to buy about 17 of that Marauder.
Yeah, that's fair. So if you have one of those Marauders and want to get rid of it, then let us know, and we'll get you in touch with Ian at some point.
BattleTech community, please just affirm me in the comments if you agree that BattleTech Gothic is a pile of dog water before you've played it and you just hate the idea of it. So please do let me know and let the rest of the experts know just how wrong they are.
Yeah, so Dom now hates BattleTech Gothic the most for some reason, but we'll go with that. So Dom's banking on being on the right side of history, but we'll see. Cool. So yeah, that's pretty much it for news anyway. There are some events coming up. I've actually looked at the events this week, so I've checked the Discord, and over at the Tales from Periphery podcast, Mike keeps a nice list of all the events on their site. So if you do ever want to look these up, we might also remember to put some of the links in our notes as well. But if you do want to look them up,
possibly
UK Discord or Tales from Periphery, their website podcast, they keep a nice list. So the events coming up, we've got on the 10th of May, you've got the Meme Team BattleTech Brawl on the 10th of May in Knaphill Methodist Church, Broadway, Knaphill, Woking. It's £20.
I'm
having a stroke because I'm trying to read. It sounds like it's going to be 3 to 4 games of Battletech, different climates, 150 points. They've got, if you look up the mean team Battletech Brawl, I'm sure it will come up and you can buy tickets to that event. Anyway, after that, on the 17th in Enfield, there's the Battletech Alpha Strike, a Battle for Tricross. It's a 500 PV mass reenactment for the Battle of Tricross. Clan Invasion MULs. £10 per player to cover the room, the hall hire. Games will be split into 2 times 3-hour sessions. It might be two. I don't know. 2 separate scenarios. So the factions available are Jade Falcons, Inner Sphere, Clan General, Federated Sons, Lyman Commonwealth, Federated Commonwealth, Mercenary General. And they've got a Facebook page, so if you search up Battletech Alpha Strike Battlefield Tricross and it's in Enfield, you're in the right place.
Tom, will you be attending this event? Because we all know how much you love Battletech Alpha Strike.
I'm going to slightly walk back what I said. I don't want to discredit what other people do. No, I don't like Alpha Strike, but this event must, having tried to put a small one on myself now, even for UK Games Expo, I understand how, you know, a lot of effort must go into this. So I'm not going to say that it's going to be bad because it's Alpha Strike. I'm going to say people that go are going to have a great time and really enjoy it. It's just not for me.
Cool. Well, I've seen some of the prep work in the Discord for this event. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're doing such a great time.
Cool.
Like, it's such a great thing.
Experts are just a positive community, except for me specifically.
Yeah, I think it's because we're recording before 11, which means that Tom is not angry at this point.
Tom is like a gremlin.
Yeah, he's like,
it's not past his bedtime.
No, not yet. Anyway, cool. And
soon.
Yeah, last event though we're going to talk about is obviously the UK Games Expo, the end of May, 30th of May to the 1st of June. Mm-hmm. We've obviously talked about it a couple of times previous to this. If you've not heard it, though, there's a big expo called the UK Games Expo at the NEC in Birmingham. The Catalyst demo team are going to be running some events in the game hall. Events are Drafted for War and Battletech Mercenaries. Those two have sold out, but they were pretty cool. However, there are tickets for Battletech Aces, which is the AI system which we talked about earlier, which you can try out. And there is tickets for Trials Opposition, which is a painting and kind of intro into Alpha Strike, mainly aimed at the younger Battletech player. However, I don't think there is an age cap, so if you feel like getting a mech, painting it up and learning some Alpha Strike, join in on that. But yeah, like I said, it's coming soon, and I'm sure some of us need to make sure all our stuff's ready for it, because we're going to be running some events there with the Catalyst demo team.
I mean, I certainly need to. I'm taking part in the Draconis Reach.
Oh yeah, you're going to be there.
Nursery's thing. So yeah. Whoever else is listening to this, who's playing, watch out. I know the TOs. So
you guys
had some favors.
So
George.
Actually, it's going to work against him. If you have a problem with Nathan, I will side with you over him.
Also Nathan, are you planning to bring Inner Sphere mechs or Jade Falcons again to this?
I don't know, I'm going to keep it vague, keep just like moaning that I'm taking clan mechs.
Okay, that's fine then. We'll pretend that you're taking clan mechs, but actually you'll probably realise that you need to take in the sphere mechs so you don't die turn game one.
No, the Ula looks pretty nice.
Ula, the Kit Fox. We do like the Kit Fox. I need to stop getting Kit Foxes in the salvage boxes, like there's so many Kit Foxes. Cool, but yeah, that's pretty much everything going on in the news, our hobby, and our intro. So we'll catch you guys in a couple minutes for the main segment. So catch you guys on the flip side.
On the flip side
way. Baby.
We're back from break. We're back with the main segment, and we're going to be talking about what is a lance with Nathan. I'm sure Nathan's got a different title for it. Something about buttons. Something about buttons, Nathan.
I just rivet counting, because I feel like in most games I like to look at all the different like company organizations, but like, yes, I'm this company of that guys and they do this and these do that. But yeah, we're just going to go over what a lance is quickly, why they are, how they are, and some of the bigger organizations in the military. So yeah, what is a lance? A lance is simply a unit that consists of four mechs, and it's pretty much the equivalent to an infantry platoon. It's the smallest standard unit of mechs that you'll see out in the game, and typically what you'd be using in a normal game of BattleTech Classic. So these will usually be commanded by someone like an NCO or a low-level officer, and typically, as I've found out, they've got six support staff helping them to keep the pilots and mechs going. These could be medics, chefs, it could be mech techs, all those kinds of things. So
economically, a BattleTech dinner lady.
Oh, absolutely. They have to be called like Greta or something, all of them. No matter where you are.
Little BattleTech.
A bit like Andy for all the pilots.
Yeah, she has like a pilot skill and a gunnery. if the gunnery's too low, she just misses the train. It just goes onto your shoes. But yeah. There is like a standard mech that was used for the majority of the Succession War that you'd be most likely to see, especially if it's operating alone. And that's typically consists of a light mech, a medium mech, and two heavy mechs, mainly just because this is a very tactically like variable lance. So you've got some heavy hitters, you've got a guy who can do recon. However, except for like that standard formation, they're either labelled for their weights, such as a light lance or an assault lance, or the combat role they'd do, where you can have multiple mechs made out of different weight classes, but they all do a similar job or complement them, such as indirect lance, which will fire missiles from a distance for the help of a spotter or someone to defend them. A direct lance that can fire, well, that can just take fire at enemies and have all of the focus on them while some of the other lances are doing stuff. And of course, the Steiner Light Recon Lance, which, as the name suggests, is made up of four atlases.
That might not be canonically true.
You might be asking, though, why would I only want four massive, like, death machines stomping about the plane in each unit? Exactly. You can have 5, 8, maybe even 10 if you want to be cheeky. Well, it's because it's really hard to move hundreds of tons of robots about the place. You know,
I don't know when you guys do it. It seems to be pretty
especially
because they're small. When we
But when you got to transport them from space, it's really hard. Especially when a lot of the ship factories keep blowing up or getting blown up by other people.
Yep.
So that's then caused the squads themselves to be molded around one particular kind of transport, which, like a cockroach in a nuclear blast, has survived the Succession Wars. This being the Leopard.
The Leopard.
The Leopard dropship. So the Leopard is one of the first dropships created specifically just to transport battle mechs. It was put into production in 2537, and for about 500 years or so, at least at the point I've got to at the podcast, it's been like the main ship used, and this is just because of how cheap it is to run. Apparently it's extremely cheap to run, and the abundance of spare parts everywhere, even in the periphery where usually you're using like tin cans and stringers radio, means that it's used by almost every single force that operates in the Innosphere. And on top of that, it's actually decently armed for a relatively small ship. It's got 2 PPCs, 3 LRM-20s, 7 medium lasers, and 5 large lasers.
Actually, I've got quite a lot of guns.
But yeah, despite the Leopard only being able to hold 4 people, on the battlefield, there's also a slightly altered ad hoc formation that can occur, usually by multiple lances taking damage and forming up into a unit, which is just a 6 mech lance known as a demi company or reinforced lance.
Yeah.
So yeah, after this, we go into the next step up, which is a mech company. So this will typically be either 3 lances, so 12 mechs, or 2 demi companies, which is the same, working together using their different skills and specializations to be able to operate a lot more effectively than just a single lance. But think
about demi mechs and having like 2 pilots that fall in love with one another.
Oh, there's ones where 3 pilots fall in love with each other in quad mech. That's in Tripod Mechs, but that's too far. That's a bit in the future. You draw the line there.
It's a line.
Dom is a monogamous lover. He does not believe in polygamy.
I'm a traditional man. When I think about my mech relationships, I want it to be two. Look, God created.
No, let's carry on. Nathan.
When I think of my partners, I think of Harlan. You're carrying on. There can only be one.
Nathan, you're bringing us back there, Nathan. Carry on.
They'll be led by a major captain, but the increased need of the transport, fueling, making sure all the ammo's there. In like a company, you'll have 60 people working on them at a time. So that's 12 mech pilots and then 48 different people in the background, making sure everything doesn't fall apart.
Yep.
But for the most part, there's only one alternate configuration that's used at the moment. For lances and companies in the future, there's a lot of differences and some that are still operating technically in 3025, but no one knows about, so we won't go over them.
Yeah.
But the main alternate for the company is the Task Force, which is made up of 18 to 24 fighting units, which is the 12 mechs, as well as 6 to 12 vehicles, aircraft, or like infantry that you might need if, say, you need to capture a HPG and hold it off from another unit, so you need the infantry in the base to defend it.
Are those elementals, the infantry?
Not at this point.
Yeah. For people who no one knows about, I don't even know what an elemental is. Is this like a Marvel thing? I don't know.
Infantry at this point are more conventional infantry. They've got like futuristic weapons, but they're going to be like guys in combat armor.
Some of them have like stealth suits and stuff like that, which is a bit of lost tech.
Yeah, but you
depending on who you read.
Yeah, you wouldn't compare it to anyone who has power armor or anything just yet.
But a company, for the most part, is like the most amount of mechs you would run in, say, Alpha Strike. Or if you're an absolute madman, you'd also run it in a Classic, which I think is the smallest amount of mechs you should run in Classic, personally.
No, it's not. I think people generally play company on company for Alpha Strike. Battletech, Classic, company, you probably want more than 2 or 3 hours to play that through.
Yeah, even a company's way too much effort for me putting into painting that many mechs.
That's why you play clans, isn't it?
Even worse, it gets even worse when you go up. So I'll just go briefly over the large formations. Next up is a battalion, which is a larger organization consists of 3 companies and a separate battalion level command lance, which is 40 whole mechs.
Too many.
That seems like a lot
because as far as I can tell, whenever I watch you guys play, it's like 4 fellas, but 40. So you never see that mobilized realistically, do you? Like 40 dudes.
Oh no, you're absolutely doing like the succession wars, because you got to think they'll be fighting over entire cities. They'll be fighting over like Tokyo sized cities.
You won't generally see this with like the small mercenary units that we're talking about. These are kind of like proper military formations, or the really big mercenary units are doing this kind of stuff. This isn't your periphery mercenary unit. They won't be bringing this kind of force to bear.
typically mercenaries only go up to one company, and I believe some of the bigger ones get to the battalion level. We can make it even bigger. We've got regiments, which is usually like
quite a few battalions.
Sorry, I got chucked an ice cream by my dad. He just passed.
We're leaving it in. No edit.
No edit.
We are leaving it in, absolutely. But yeah, we got regiments, which usually like where the great houses would actually command from. Like that's the lowest level they'll be issuing orders to. And it consists of 5 whole battalions, so what's that, 120 mechs, commanded by a colonel or general. Oh, it's 108 to 180 mechs or combat vehicle. Yeah. And then on top of that is a brigade, which is usually, it's like the biggest thing that you can typically class as like a full supported fighting force. It's got its own warships. It's got different independent regiments that are attached to it. And it's got, what is it? It consists of 3 regiments. So
it's a lot of
we
mix.
Then go
it's
to...
It's a lot of mechs. Yeah, it's a lot of mechs.
And then, above that...
How silly does that sort of go? So we say that, you know, you can mobilize 40 mechs, but are you realistically going to be mobilizing 120 mechs at any one time, or are these going to be sent off to different battle zones?
I'd say that would be like a proper first succession war attack in a planet-sized force, because we catch multiple... Pretty much, it's when everyone's just had a bunch of peace time and everyone's got new shiny mechs and couldn't use them against each other till the Star League went away. And then suddenly everyone's like, we've got all these toys. It's like the First World War. We've got all these toys and weapons. We need to use them against each other.
Yeah, and probably something Nathan's going to mention is generally, you probably might also be asking, Dom, is generally you probably won't play with this many mechs on the table. There is a game.
God, no.
There are game systems. Is it, I can't remember if it's Battle Force or that are kind of designed for. Zoomed out, I think, more than that. And then I think there's more zoomed out further than that as well. There's another system that kind of covers that. So there are game systems
where
that
you'll quite literally have like a lance on a base.
Yeah.
I'm interested in playing in super zoomed out tiny battle tech.
Yeah, it is. I think it's something that's. It's something you can play. I think I've seen pictures of people and they've got prototypes of like the refreshes of these games coming out, but they're like a niche within a niche, so they're not generally the prettiest looking games, but there's something I think that might come out in the nearish future. But yeah, but generally
put it in the YouTube.
In the YouTube. Yeah, but it's generally not something you'll be seeing regiments and regiments on the classic BattleTech table there.
Yep, and we've got the next step down, which is the closest thing you'll get, like the second step down from the army itself, which are corps. So these are mainly used in the Star League, but they're adapted to the Great Houses. But with losses, it's sometimes a bit hard to maintain an actual full strength corps, but they'll still use a couple of them in the army. So this is 1-3 battle mech divisions. 2-7 infantry divisions, which is similar size, several independent regiments, warships, transports, and jump ships. And then finally, the armed forces, which is typically 3-5 corps, making some like Great Houses armies thousands and thousands of battle mechs.
Super. A division is that's 3 brigades.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's getting which to be, is that, that's a lot of mechs then.
Which is then 3 or more regiments.
So it's like one box of Lewis's collection.
Oh, yeah.
My collection's not that big.
It's like half of Lewis's collection, just there.
You'd be careful saying that when Amber's about. But yeah.
it's like 1/10 of Lewis's collection.
Definitely not. There's definitely guys out there listening who've got more than...
If you've got a giant BattleTech collection, we want to...
Send it in. Send an email. It'll be in the next episode.
The baddest BattleTech collection. We want to see stuff from Hextech. We want to see stuff from Hero Clicks. What's it called?
Tech? You're just talking about terrain and stuff now.
we want to see robots.
Dom just wants to see...
We want to see your trees. We want to see your tiny houses. We want your shrubberies.
I think Dom's saying... Dom wants to see the girth of your collections if you want to send them in.
Me, your girth. We're searching once in this episode. Show me your girth.
Okay. Anyway, so
okay, that should be the episode title, though.
No, it should not.
Hey, welcome to Experts podcast. Show me your girth.
Cool.
Now that we know what a lance is, we're going to have a break. We're going to see what lies our hosts have to tell each other in Your Tech or Law Tech, and then we're going to whip out some of the hosts' lances as well as some we've been sent in by the lovely listeners. And we're going to have a look at them. So yeah, see you after the break.
And
hey, Nathan, what ice cream did you get?
I got an Aldi Magnum.
Aldi Magnum. So do they have like, Aldi's obviously prevalent in Europe, but obviously I'm guessing, I'm sure they have them everywhere.
Yeah, they've got sorry. For the Americans, we're talking about Aldi.
Aldi? I'm going to drive my Audi to my Aldi.
Okay, and other Magnum brands are available. Aldi, if you want to sponsor us. you know.
Condoms for your monster dong, as you know.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so we're back with your tech and law tech, or law tech and your tech. I'm never sure which way round it is. So, Nathan, get back to work, Nathan.
So, yeah, welcome back to Your Tech or Law Tech. It's where we decide whether something's extremely whack in the BattleTech universe or I've finally lost my mind. And this week, we're going to be looking at something a bit experimental and a bit more down to earth. So, during the early 3000s, they were testing an extended torso twist prototype that would have let the mech actually spin 100% round. So this was actually being produced by Ford, who were then lending it out to the Mavericks. And they decided, before they put it on actual proper battle mechs and send them out to the field, they'll put them on harvesters. So how these worked is that they actually had a screw that connected to the legs, and then they're able to control the legs, kind of like, you know, how modern day like JCBs are able to swivel on a screw. Well, the test was going fine until one of the apprentices on site decided to get into it, and not really remembering the briefing they were given, he kept turning it left to cut down a tree, put it in a truck, turn round, and kept going to it until suddenly the torso fell off the legs because he completely unscrewed it from the legs. So, luckily, he was okay, only got off with a broken arm, but he was also fired. But because of this, the project was scrapped because, and I quote, mech warriors ignore the heat in their cockpit and shutdown warnings all the time. You think they'll keep track of how many times they've turned? So yeah, what do you think? Do you think this is a your tech or law tech?
Oh, I'm thinking this sounds too convoluted, Nathan. I think this sounds like something you've made up. I think this is a your tech.
Oh,
I think because Nathan said, and I quote, that means that it's real because he quoted.
I think he's quoted himself, though, Ian.
He often insane. He often quotes himself, to be fair.
Okay.
Have I, Nathan, often, sir?
So far you've got me, your teching, Ian's law teching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this is law tech.
Over to you, Dom.
I'm also saying this is law tech. If Nathan genuinely just quotes
free law techs to your tech. Well, sucks to be free of you, because it was completely made up.
And I quote.
This is like engineering industry kind of things that happen. This is a joke from the engineering industry.
It is actually true that with most figures, they're just on a completely loose screw with no warning. So if you turn it too much, it will just pop off the trucks.
I demand a recount. This is awful.
You guys fell for Nathan's, and I quote.
what asshole!
I would applaud Lewis, but it doesn't come through the mic, so it just sounds like an awkward silence. So yeah, that's been your tech or law tech for this week.
What a bastard!
Hopefully next week, either these two bring something in, or they get their thinking caps on and get the right answer.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't trust their thinking caps with that now.
They can just explain to Nathan what "and I quote" means. That'd be a good segment.
I think the whole point was, Ian, that it was a bit of a sneaky to mislead you.
It was a quote from the actual people who were working on it. That's what.
Also, Nathan said apprentices. How often have you heard of BattleTech apprentices?
Have you seen Comstar?
I have.
True.
Cool. A lot of apprentices.
Cool. But yeah, is that us teched out then for your tech or law tech?
Yeah.
Cool. Well then,
that's us for this week.
We'll catch you guys after the break then. And we're back from the break, and let's start with our lance off. We're going to start going through some lances. So some submitted from your hosts and some submitted from the lovely listeners. So we'll start with myself anyway, because I'm at the top of the list. No other reason. So my lance, we'll see if you think there might be a little bit of a theme here with mine. So on my lance, I've got a Dragon 1N with a 3-4 pilot, a Panther, the standard Panther, because it can't be the 4-5 pilot, a Catapult K2 with the lovely PPCs with a 4-5 pilot, and a Phoenix Hawk, the standard one, with a 3-4 pilot. Any opinions on that? Any idea what the theme was?
What's a Phoenix?
Well, the Phoenix Hawk, it's like a Gundam, really.
Last bit,
no, it's not. And any idea what colour I might be painting this lance? where it might be from?
Red, maybe?
Red? Yeah, slightly red.
Possibly. There's the Panther.
Yeah, Panther.
I mean...
Yeah,
it's spoiling it a bit. There's a bit more of a there's a bit of a very much Draconis met, like a lance coming up.
Yeah, that mine's quite a Draconis combined lance there. What?
I feel so left out of this joke because you've literally just been like, oh, there could be some real reason I'm painting it in this particular color, and I'm just like, Phoenix Hawk. It's like, is that the joke?
No,
and you're all like, ha-ha.
Okay, The joke was they're quite Draconis Combine themed mix, being the Dragon Catapult K2 and the Panther are very Draconis Combine.
Right, no. Stop the goddamn podcast.
No.
They're called, right, so you said Draconis themed mix, and then you say Dragon.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm on board. And then you say Catapult.
Yeah. It's the K2. It's because they pull off the missile launchers and put PPCs on. That's their thing.
Pull off the missile launchers.
They do.
The one did the first.
And then there's a Panther and the Phoenix Hawk. But yeah, any apart from Dom getting mad about me, about me theming the lads, any takeaways from there? You think it do well or not impressed with that?
What the hell is that dragon doing there?
It's just a dragon. It's a Draconis Combine lance. I've not run the dragon in a while. I want to run the dragon.
Yeah, do you know why you don't run the dragon, Lewis?
Why?
Because the dragon's bad, the one end's bad.
Oh God! This
specifically,
is...
the one end is bad.
Tom, save it for a bit later, Dom. Save it for later, Dom. Tom, we might be talking about the dragon a little bit later on as well. But for me, it's a couple of heavy mechs. One wants to get in your face. The Panther and the Catapult are going to sit back, and the Phoenix Hawk's going to get in your face and probably go and do objectives. Draconis Combine.
Not too bad, to be fair. I mean. Lack of...
Like you haven't got anything to protect your K2. Yeah. It doesn't have the medium lasers, does it?
It's got two medium lasers, I think.
Yeah.
Is it the two medium, two large one?
It's two. No, two it's medium, two medium,
two PPCs.
I like the PPCs.
They can look after themselves, the K2, to be honest. And it's going to have a Panther. it's going to have a Panther hanging around with it, so they'll look after themselves.
Oh yeah, that bodyguard mech, the Panther. Yeah.
We're fine.
Now watch out, all locusts.
Ian's got pretty good takes on this, to be fair. He knows what he's talking
about. Not a fan of that lance, then, Ian. You think it's lacking a bit of backfield support for looking after those mechs?
I don't know. Your dragon's going to rush up.
Yeah.
And then kind of be on its own. But I suppose if it gets there after your PPCs have done work, then yeah, it might be all right.
Cool.
But actually, you just use it to charge, right?
Yeah, pretty
That's
much.
That's what the
dragon
is
yeah,
for.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a resounding 6 out of 10 overall.
Oh, that's generous.
Apparently, a resounding 5 out of 10. Cool. That's my lance anyway. So, should we move on to Tom's lance?
Oh, thank you, Lewis. So, my lance is slightly different because I like to be just awkward.
Yeah.
So, starting off, we've got a Cyclops 10Q.
Yeah.
Which is a 4-4. We've then got a Hunchback 4J, which is a 3-4.
So what's the 4J then got, Tom? Because I don't know the 4J.
So the 10Q is...
Oh, this is a weird Cyclops, isn't it, that you had the other day?
Yes, it's a weird Cyclops. He's had the AC-28, and he put two LRM-20s and a medium laser in.
Yeah.
Then we have a Hunchback 4J, which is you take the AC-20 out, you put three medium lasers and two LRM-10s in.
Yeah.
Then the Vulcan, and that's Hunchback to 3-4. Then we have a 4-4 Vulcan 5T, which is a Vulcan, but you take the AC-5 out and put three medium lasers in.
I think that's a good idea.
And then a 4-4 Javelin 10N, which is the base Javelin with two SRM-6s.
That doesn't seem to be too bad.
So
I don't...
This is
Okay, carry on.
Oh, sorry.
Carry on.
Oh, no. So this is just a slight modification of a list that I ran a couple of weeks back, or actually it was last week, where I used to have an Enforcer in here, but I thought it just didn't really gel particularly well into the list, so I changed it for a Javelin.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, for me, long-range LRM-10s, so the Hunchback and the Cyclops, these, you know, it's only 40 LRMs effectively, but you hit over that range, and then as the enemy closes, you jump in with the Cyclops and the Hunchback. They're relatively well-armored at the front, so, and all their medium lasers are just going to strip armor. And the Vulcan, with its 6.96, is able to get some really nice rear shots on stuff.
Yeah.
And then two SRM-6s for death.
Super. So, what do you guys think about that then? What's your opinions?
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Thanks for that. So,
there's a Netcolor Vulcan, and I know Star Trek.
Cool.
It's got a Hunchback. It's got a Javelin. I'll give you a nice 7.
Cool. I'm not so sure.
I like it more with the Enforcer.
Yeah, I think the
Enforcer. Really?
Yeah,
because then you've got chunks of armor.
Yeah, but everything was a 4-5 if you take an Enforcer. It allows things to be 4-4s.
I think this will struggle a bit because you've not got that punch. You've not got that.
Yeah,
you've got the LRMs are spreading a lot of damage, and then the Vulcan.
Yeah, it's all just 5 damage groups, isn't it? Yeah. Everything.
I think
there's only one way to settle this, Lewis.
To have a joust. We'll have to have a jest about this. No, I'm
to the local park. And you need to get your lances.
No, the police might stop us if we get our lances out in the park. But yeah, I think I was just saying. I think obviously it's nice having those LRMs, but I think if someone gets into short range of those two mechs, they might struggle a little bit. And the Vulcan and the Javelin, I think the Vulcan. I quite like the look of when I've seen the sheet for him. But I think they're going to get batted down quite quickly. And then it's just going to be those two. And when you get into range and get rid of their LRMs, you're cutting down their damage quite a lot. So I think it depends if you can put down the fire and those two little mechs can start finding holes in mechs, or if they get battered away and those two LRM carrier mechs there can put down the fire before people get in close and negate a lot of their damage. So
we can tell that Lewis did not take 6 out of 10 well.
What? I'm just trying
his analytical hat.
Okay.
Yeah, he put on his analytical hat.
I'll take off my analytical hat then. Oh, I don't like that mech because it's called a Cyclops and he got one eye.
Yeah. I'm 100% on board with that. Yeah.
Experts is not an ableist podcast.
Oh dear. Right. Apparently not.
No matter how many eyes you've got, it doesn't matter what your color is. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, blue, or purple. If you've got one eye, one leg, one arm.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you have no eyes. I mean, you can still listen on Spotify and other streaming platforms are available. So
it says you can't watch. You can't use YouTube.
No. YouTube hates disabled people.
Okay.
Quote me on it.
So.
All right.
So apparently everyone thinks it's a better lance than mine, which is fine. Fine. I can take it.
It's fine.
Lasai. Cool. Talking of Lasai, Nathan, would you like
to... God, obviously, the best lance ever. Didn't even put it in the notes because everyone knows it's obviously going to be 4-5. I don't spend money on anything silly like that. We've got the King Crab, the OG, big laser, 15 missiles, two IC-20s, the Catapult C-1, which I believe is the standard one with the two missiles and the four lasers.
Yeah.
The Longbow W with two sets of 5 missiles and then two sets of 20 missiles, and a Locust 1S, mainly just to fill out the points, because he has two SRMs and a medium laser, so he can go around spying or shooting people in the back.
Cool.
Well, so, what do you think?
Well, I'll go first with this one anyway. So this longbow here, this is the DAT. This is the, it's a primitive longbow. It's the 7Q or something like that. It's the actual Succession Wars one. So this one's the one that's got a little bit less armor. So that one's arms can get blown off quite quickly. It's got a lot of LRMs, but I suppose you don't want to be trying to get too close to them, because if there's a King Crab bodyguard, then you don't want to be getting too close to those guys. I've not seen that Locust on the battlefield, so I don't know how well he does, but like you said, I think he's just there to be a bit more harassing. So I think I'd be more worried about this lance than Tom's lance, but I think...
I agree fully, yeah. I fully agree with that.
I'll just walk at a pace that's not matched by that of Geriatrics, and then I'll just never have to fight Nathan's lance, so...
Who's Geriatrics?
Tom's saying that Nathan's mechs don't move very fast apart from his Locust. They're quite slow.
The listener, or...
Geriatric will get send us a lance in at some point, I think.
He will.
So Tom thinks it's slow, but you reckon that your lance would.
I reckon it's slow, but you're going to be coming towards me to try and stop the LRMs hitting you every.
Yeah, turn. I think that's true. I think
unlike nines, but you know they'll still be hitting you eventually.
I think if you
6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think if you can blow
6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think if you can blow the arms off that longbow, you'll struggle. But if you can keep the arms on your longbow, I think you might do pretty well with that. Any opinions with that, Ian?
Doesn't the longbow have 100% chance to create ammo in its torsos?
Yep, probably. That
That is my only point.
Cool. So, I don't know what that means in the score, but yeah, that's the point there. Cool. So then that leads us on to Dom's lance, which I had to help Dom make from mechs that he said that he knew of or liked the idea of. So Dom's lance consists of an Atlas, the standard Atlas, a Star Slayer,
Let me explain why I went for the Atlas.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Cool. It's the only one that I recognize.
Okay, so we got
on the front cover of the book.
So that's why we have the standard Atlas. We have the Star Slayer because Dom wanted the mech with one arm.
Yeah, Dom... I say BattleTech Podcast Experts is a completely inclusive and friendly podcast, which has a...
Yeah.
We have many MVPs on the podcast.
I don't know if that's true, but obviously feel free to
also
listen.
Also a podcast full of liars.
Yeah, it's also... That is... True, or maybe it's not. We are lying. And then Dom then shouted that he knew about the flea. So then we added the flea to the list. And then he left the conversation that I was with him with three mechs. So then I just had to find something that fit in, which was a Warhammer. So he has an Atlas, a Star Slayer, a flea, and a Warhammer. Do you go?
Depends. Is it fantasy or is it 40k?
It's actually BattleTech. So it's. Yeah, exactly. I thought you'd appreciate that anyway. So what do you guys reckon to Dom's lance? It's actually not bad, really.
It's actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually solid lance.
Yeah.
Dom, this is a bit that's annoying, Dom. It's actually good.
The only problem I have with it is I have just an aversion to atlases in general.
Yeah.
So
but that lance is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think it's
AC 20 walking down the middle.
It's a good like linchpin mech, to be fair. Yeah. I just don't love it.
I've been using that Star Slayer as well. The base Star Slayer is absolutely solid.
Yeah, it's real good.
Right, Dom. Well,
buy me this BattleTech lance. I will paint it and post pictures of it on the Instagram page. If anyone,
it's going to be quite awkward to buy because this Atlas comes in the one box, the Star Slayer's in the mercenary box with the flea though, so I suppose that's there, and the Warhammer, so it's buyable, but
I think I've got all four of these in my spares.
I have them. Oh,
if you can get me these mechs, I'll paint them in the Hexpert BattleTech podcast scheme, the brand scheme that we've developed.
You owe me a game as well, Dom.
Yeah.
That is true.
On to the next one.
So apparently Dom's going to paint these up and play a game against Ian with these mechs. You've heard it here.
Awesome.
Yes.
And we might record it. We may record it for the board.
No, record it. Super. So,
Blood Oath's just been made.
But yeah, so. Exactly. So yeah, so I think we've all agreed actually, although this was Dom's joke lands, actually pretty good.
I hate how good that is.
Yeah.
All I would change is the Warhammer for a Marauder. Because
if I had the points, probably I was trying to pick the guillotine in there because I know he likes the guillotine. But
would be good.
Drop the atlas to like a thug, and just put a guillotine in there, and that's the perfect lance.
Yeah, it'd actually be pretty solid. But I think that's not a bad lance as it is. The fire spot for the Warhammer got speed of the flea. The Star Slayer can do a bit of everything. And the Atlas just being your bulwark, it's pretty solid.
God,
pretty solid lance.
Oh,
for Dom's joke lance, actually better than a lot of our lances. Cool. So then on to Ian's super secret lance. Ian, what have you got for us?
Oh,
Is it supposed to be a secret?
Well, it's just I haven't got notes of it. Oh, okay. All the dumb stuff was 4/5 as well, just so you know. I couldn't bother to change their stats.
I am also 4/5 across the board.
Yep.
With a Marauder 3M, which is dropping the PPCs for large lasers.
Yeah, solid.
Catapult C1 for missiles and lasers.
Yeah.
And Ost-Sol 4D, which is two large, two mediums, and two mediums in the back.
Yes. Yeah.
Who cares? And Trebuchet 5S, which is the one with three medium lasers and two SRM-6s.
Yeah.
The Ossol and the Trebuchet move 5/8, so I've got speed for aggression.
Yeah.
And then the Marauder does not get hot, so it pushes up aggressively. The Catapult fires all its missiles until it needs to use lasers, and then it pushes up with everyone.
That's, for me, that's pretty solid, to be honest. That's nice, solid all around, to be honest. That list, it's got speed. The actual mechs that want to get up there can get up there, and they've actually got some punch to them as well. You got the support of the Catapult and the Marauder pushing up the center field there. Oh, that's pretty yeah. solid there.
I toyed with dropping the Catapult for an Archer with the large lasers.
Yeah.
But it just gets too hot.
The large laser Archer, is that a bit too light as well?
I don't know.
I think is it a lighter era one, the one with the large lasers? No, I think there's the two. There's one, I think, with
Aeon line.
Is it the 2S or something? There's one with large lasers. I'm thinking the one with the ER large lasers from the Alpha Strike box. I think it is in date or around that point.
I think it's a 2K. Archer 2K, isn't it?
I'm not sure. We'll have to look it up later. But anyway, that's not the lance you have. This is the lance you have.
No, that is the lance I have.
So you've got a Marauder, Catapult, Trebuchet.
Ossol. Yeah.
Cool.
So the Trebuchet is just acting as a big fat javelin, really.
Yeah, but They look quite fragile, but they're actually not that bad. The Ossol,
this one is pretty fragile.
The Ossol likes to lose its arms, but if you don't keep any weapons there, it doesn't matter massively. They are in canon very replaceable. What were you saying, sorry, Tom?
I said that's the thing. If you don't keep anything in your arms, you don't care when they blow off.
Yeah, it's true. And apparently they're designed to be replaceable. they're like a part they expect you to lose because they want you to go punching with it and smash it up. Cool. That's like pretty solid lance, to be honest. I'd be happy to play that, less happy to play against it. Tom and Nathan, you got any opinions?
Pretty sweet. I like it.
Pretty swag. Yeah. Pretty
swag. So that's a good all round, much better than by the kind of response I got. And it's
oh, God, Lewis.
I'll let it go. We'll move on to some of our listeners have sent in some lances as well. A lot of the listeners as well have got some emails which we'll catch up with at the end. But to start with, let's go through some lances that have been submitted. Local and friend of the podcast, John Kang, has sent in a lance. Surprising, you'll see a bit of a theme going on here. So there's another Atlas in this lance. It's the A7. So this is the one with that changes all the weapons out for LRM-10, AC-5 and 5 SRM-6s. It's not nice to get in front of this one. It can do a bit of a can remove armor quite quickly, and if you've got any holes, it can blow things up pretty quick. He's got a Commando 3A. That's the one that has two SRM-6s, a medium laser, and a flamer, but loses the SRM-4 and some armor, so it's more SRMs. He's got a Vindicator, and he's got the Thug 11E, so the full fat Thug. I can't remember what his skills are for these. I can't remember if they're four. I think some of them are upgraded, but yeah,
I see they're 4/4.
Isn't that 4/4? It did send. I know they've been sent to me, but yeah. Anyway, but it's a solid lance. Anyway, like before, the Atlas coming down the middle with all those SRMs are pretty scary. The Vindicator and the Thug are probably going to punch holes and stuff that this Atlas and the Commando are probably going to find with their SRMs and cause some crits, I think. Yeah, it's pretty solid. It might not be the fastest for capping objectives, because I think the Commando, not known for having the most armor, having less armor means that when that goes down, it's not a particularly fast lance. So coming towards you, you're probably not going to stop it, but if the objective's in one of the corners on the other side of the field, it's probably not going to get there. But yeah, any opinions from you guys? Anything, what do you reckon?
I have to deduct a couple of points, I'm afraid.
Why
is that? The 11A, it's a Star League mech.
You can have a
I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying
You know, if we're talking true 3025.
He'd be the same for Dom, though, because Dom Star Slayer's a Star League mate, really.
Is it? I thought they still made.
They do a downgraded version.
They do a downgraded version, yeah. There's like, I would accept the 10E thug.
Yeah.
The 11E is just a bit oppressive in 3025 with its double heat sinks.
Ooh. So basically, John, if you're listening, you're dead to us.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, to be fair, that's literally... I mean, to be fair, if this is the thing I'm quibbling over, I don't have many problems with this.
Yeah.
I think that the AS7A solves a lot of the problems I have with the Atlas, just makes it into a horrific monster in close combat, which is where it wants to be anyway.
Yep.
Commando
magic.
Just use a javelin. I love a Vindicator. Sorry, I think Ian shares my opinion that the Commando is not the best mech in the world.
You've got the Atlas there to do crit seeking. What's the javelin do?
Uh-huh. More crit seeking?
Well, sorry, not javelin. What's the commando do?
Yeah, he's just looking for some crits. But he's
being slow.
Yeah. I think part of this is that these are some of the mechs that John's recently painted as well. So,
however,
still
better than Lewis's. So, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I like anything which is just loaded with million SRMs, because it's always fun being able to roll like 400 sets of dice.
Yeah,
on a turn and strip no armor. But...
So true, so true, Nathan. So true.
But no, I really like the Atlas in it. I like the thug, even if it is illegal and he should be arrested.
No,
and the commando's a bit because it's just a commando. Yeah, overall, it's decent lance, I think.
Any more opinions, Ian?
If you downgraded the thug, how many BV would you save? A few hundred, surely.
I think that there's quite a bit, because I'm sure John's got some upgrades on skill that I've written down on my phone, which is not here. So
the thug, 11. Oh my god, that's it's 140. It's not crazy.
And it gets anyway.
Yeah,
it's fun. I just don't love the commando. It always makes me sad.
Oh, I think I like the commander, but I think it's when you've got access to something like the javelin, I think it can be more difficult to take. But yeah, but I definitely wouldn't want to be coming across that. Dom, have you got any opinions before we move on?
Honestly, I don't really mind the idea of pineapple on pizza. Whilst I wouldn't have it myself,
yeah,
I don't mind it. I think it's fine.
That's fine then. And with that, we'll move on to next lance, which is one submitted from Seth from the Mercenary Star podcast, which I think is a really cool lance, and has brought a mech I'd forgotten about until recently back into the swing of things. The lance is a Champion 2N with the 4-5 pilot, a Jenna 7D with a 4-5 pilot, a Victor 9B which is a 4-5 pilot, and a Warhammer, standard Warhammer 6R with a 3-4 pilot. I really like the Champion. I keep forgetting the Champion exists because we haven't got a model for it yet, but We used it quite not that long ago in MechWarrior, and I really enjoyed that mech. So it's definitely got a vote for me for that.
Big plane mech.
Big plane. It's a cool little plane.
Yeah.
Yes. What do you guys reckon? Any opinions on these?
Yeah, I like it.
It's a good list.
Yeah, it's a really strong list. Seth obviously knows his stuff, unlike all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, Dom apparently can make an excellent list.
Yeah, Dom's better than me.
Hey, Dom.
Somehow.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
The only thing I would query is, I'm sure that there is some logic behind it, but I'd query why Warhammer's gone for a 3-4 rather than up in the piloting on, say, the Jenna and the Champion.
I think, I gather it's just so the Warhammer can sit at the back and just fire its PPCs without having to.
Yeah, I can actually hit.
I think that's
in that case, if it's at the back and it's not really going to be moving or getting into combat, I'd argue going 3-5 on that and try to squeeze a 4 on the Jenna.
Maybe Tom. But we're not all as gamey as you, Tom. But I can see you, mate. Yeah.
Tom, thank you, Lewis.
We're the experts, right? So by default, we know more than everyone else.
I don't know if that's true. Yeah.
Especially when everyone listens to the podcast.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, I think it's just true about Dom, because he is the expert.
He's the most,
we're making him the expert, so he knows.
Super.
Yeah.
So you reckon solid, but you think you might swap some of the piloting skill around a bit on that
To be fair, there might not be the scope for it. It's just that was the one thing that I looked at where I was like, Warhammer 6R, 3-4, that's dope. Everything else that you want to get close is a 4-5. I know what my piloting skill rolls are like. I need that 4.
Yeah. Cool.
He's probably keeping it for the return fire, though, so he stays on his feet.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, yeah.
They're going to be slinging 20 damage at that Warhammer if he's just stood up on a hill.
Yeah, true. Seth, if you are listening, drop us a message either on email or on social media and just let us know whether you have a master plan behind this or whether it's I'm reading too much into it.
Well, I think for me, it just looks like that Warhammer is going to be sitting there. That Victor's going to be running up, causing a lot of damage. There's 9 Bs at the one with the AC-20.
I believe
the standard one. I don't run the Victor.
Yeah, it's the 9B that's the standard. The 9A's.
Yeah, cool. Well, so the Victor's going to be running up with an AC-20 threatening you. The Jennings going to be running around, getting around back, shooting people, just a solid mech. The champion is not used on the tabletop much, but he's not a bad mech. He's pretty quick as well. So I think it's...
He's a bit undergunned, but...
He's a bit undergunned, I think a bit under-armoured, but if him and the Jenner are running around capping objectives and just being annoying, and the Victor's being a bulwark for the middle with the Warhammer backing up, I think it's pretty solid lance, to be honest, for me. So we've got your opinion, Tom. Nathan, have you got...
I'd rate it like the second best lance that we've had so far. Obviously, loose at the bottom, but... first off, champion... Didn't even know this mech existed. Just saw the artwork.
Yeah,
and
he's a lad.
A tear has just rolled down my leg. It is a beautiful looking mech. The Jenna, love a Jenna. Love a little backstab. Victor, don't really see the Victor use much, but it is a quirky little mech. And the Warhammer, you always got to love a Warhammer shoot. Just the two big guns. It's just iconic mech. The only problem is that I personally don't believe in upgrading pilot skill. Unless it's something that needs to hit another mech in combat. Otherwise, no point, especially in 3025. Mechs can do like 4 damage to you, so you don't even need to make a roll at this point. So unless you're kicking someone, punching someone, death from above in, as you should, every opportunity you get, shouldn't upgrade pilot skill.
Cool. Well, that's quite a strong opinion there, Nathan. Ian, have you got any opinions on this lance?
No, love it. I think it's really good. It's got good range. And it's the Victor just makes it super scary and aggressive with Jenna in support.
Yeah.
Probably put infernos on the Jenna just to slow the enemy down, get the Victor in.
It's not a bad plan.
Even better.
I think the big thing is don't forget the Victor. If you've got a slow lance, that Victor can jump over you and get the AC-20 in your back arc. Yeah. Real mean.
See, I'd want to put 3 gunnery on the Victor just for that.
Jump.
Because you're in shorter range.
I think you're likely to be jumping as well.
Yeah.
I think that you probably could swap them around quite easily because I think the Victor's actually is cheaper than the Warhammer usually. But anyway, that's not the list that we have. But it'd be a good. It's probably a depends. Yeah, it's be a good option anyway if you were going a bit more aggressive with the Victor. Cool. And then Dom, what's your opinion on the lance?
Solid. 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Fantastic. All right, we've got that. Last lance we've been setting, boys, is one from Richard S. And this is a lance that he's been rocking against the wankers since 1992. So that predates...
Those are his words.
Yeah,
I'll
put brackets on that. I think he just wants to hear us say wankers.
What's that more
often? He wants to hear us say wankers.
Okay, that's enough saying wankers there.
Wankers.
Okay, he said he loves these mechs. He dreams of gaggles of panthers smacking dirty warhammers. But anyway, those are his words again. I've got them in brackets. So the lance is an Atlas, a Panther, another Panther, and a Jenna, which sounds pretty solid. I don't know if that's going to be. It sounds like it's going to be less than 3.
It seems kind of light, but like
if they're upgraded pilots,
at the same time you can
whack up
the gunnery, yeah.
So it sounds like it's an Atlas, a couple of bodyguards, and just a Jenna running around being a bit annoying in the background. But if you've ran it for that long, it's obviously got to be working.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I think that that's kind of cool. I mean, I'd just get rid of the Atlas and put a Hatamoto Chi in there, but obviously they don't exist yet. So
yeah, Tom, you can't do that. You can't just break the rules. But yeah. It would be such a button counter. But yeah, but I can see what you mean there, Tom. If you got a Hatamoto Chi in there, it'd be a very, very Cretan.
Or actually, just take a thug, which is just Hatamoto Chi without the Japanese armor on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. I think if you got a thug in there, it'd be extremely Cretan, a very red lance. So that's your opinion though, Tom? You think good, but
any PPC, pretty good. Yeah, Jen's always good. Panthers, yeah, it's pretty good for its tonnage. You just got to be careful with them because they've got like paper mache legs.
Yeah, we don't need legs. We've got a PPC.
As we say, Hexperts is a very inclusive podcast. It doesn't matter if you've got one arm, one eye, one leg. You can listen to this podcast.
But not if you've got no ears though, because we haven't figured that out yet.
Nice.
We're not in brow yet. But yeah, cool. Nathan, have you got any opinions?
Very cool. A lot like quite cheap. Like I thought this would come in like under 4,000 with like basic skills and that.
I think it will, because it's going to be like 1.8.
Must be working. It must be working.
Yeah. Cool. And Ian, have you got any opinions?
I'm sure it's pretty good until pulse lasers exist.
Yeah.
And then it evaporates.
Possibly so, but
it's probably all right in the era.
It's such a good thing that 3025 doesn't have pulse lasers.
They do. Yeah. They're just not in the
secret. Secret.
Yeah.
No pulse lasers anywhere.
Dom, what's your closing statement for this, Lance?
Good question, Max. What is my closing statement? I feel like you've put a big weight upon my shoulders.
So that's it. Fantastic. I don't know if that's been your score for everything apart from my lands. Cool. So before we move on, just have a quick recap. Thoughts on the list? That's what they all seem pretty solid, apparently, apart from mine. Do we have a favourite of the list so far?
Ooh. It's mine, isn't it? Let's be honest. Everyone knows that mine is the best, followed by Nathan's, followed by Ian's, followed by Richard K's. And then followed by the last one, and then also at the very end, it's
Lewis.
I'm apparently the worst. I'm trying to think. I like Dom's little list. any opinions on you guys? Which you think are the best?
Between Seth and Dom.
Seth, man, I think Seth's is my
champion in there. Do you ever?
I guess you could say his Lance is the champion of this week.
Cool. So you got one vote for Seth. Ian, have you got a preference?
Which was the Jenna Warhammer Victor?
Seth.
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
And then Nathan, did you vote for Dom?
Seth. I'm gonna put it in
Seth. Yeah, that's fine. And I voted for Dom and Dom voted for himself. So that means that Seth has the best list. Cool. So well done, Seth, having the best list. I don't know if that's much of a victory.
You can be an honorary expert.
He's a bit of an expert. He's a star.
Get invited to the next episode.
No, sure he doesn't want that.
So anyway,
and most thematic lists. Any lists in there that are pretty thematic, very Draconis Combine? Do you guys think?
No.
No,
okay. I think the one with the Atlas and the two Panthers is very
true. Very Drac, actually.
And I mean, it's been around for longer than I have, so it's quite themey. So.
Yeah, I suppose that is true. Cool. So Richard S is our most thematic then, and then I guess we're going to try some of these out at some point. Do you reckon over the next couple of weeks if you've got some time?
I already have.
I know you have, and I think Ian, have you tried yours out against Tom?
Great.
I changed it since then.
You've done what since then? You've changed it.
I changed it.
Cool. I'm trying to get hold of a Phoenix Hawk to paint red, and I think I might try this list out.
This is the quickest feedback I can ever give. You know all those issues that you said I would have with my list?
Yeah.
They're all completely correct.
Well, fantastic.
It suffers a little bit.
At least it sounds like I know what I'm talking about then a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of knew it going into it, but
it's nice using. Nice using those interesting mechs.
It was mainly just for conversion opportunities, but yeah, a lot of medium lasers is cool, but it's just
cool. We'll see if we can get some of these lists built up. I know I'm one mech down from this. You've got this list built, Tom. Ian, I think you've got this list, so we might see if we can get some pictures up.
I think so.
I'm just locust off for mine.
We can
usually I'd run it at 6K with a flashman. instead. Cool. Obviously, because it's 7K.
Well, we'll see if we can get you a locus for a picture, Nathan, and then Dom will. Yeah. I've probably got those mechs to put one together so you can get playing that lance soon, Dom. I know. At my brigade. Cool. So yeah, obviously, listeners, if you've got any opinions, if you think we're right or wrong, or if you think they're all wrong about my lance and mine actually being pretty cool and thematic, please email in so I can tell them they're all wrong.
Or if you'd like to send in your own lances for our next Joe stick, yeah. We're happy to answer them.
Yeah, we can pile up lances for another joust. We can go through some more of these.
You'll get our lances. Have another genius.
Oh dear. Okay. but
if only.
Yeah, but that anyway, that's the end of the main segment, guys, and we'll catch you guys after a quick break. So catch you guys on the flip side. And we're back. And it looks like we're running out of time. So we're gonna skip Mech of the Week this week, which was gonna be the dragon, but we'll talk about the dragon next week. The dragon can wait. Before we go though. We got some listener mail. So we'll have a quick talk through these messages we've got, and then we'll head on out. So firstly, we've got a lovely message from call sign Zot. He's invited us up to Ontario if we ever go on our worldwide tour, which is very nice of him to invite us up. He's sent in some pictures of his mercenaries and their logo. They are Hefty's Hitters, which is a really cool logo. I don't know if you're able to put that up, Nathan, at the moment.
Already are.
Oh, fantastic. Look at that. He's got some pictures of his recent game with the Jade Falcons with Kirsten Redman. Apparently, she's not looking...
Repressing certain soon.
She looks like she's not going very well for her, but they're painted up in the cool BattleTech cartoon colours, which I like. Also, Peter has mentioned he doesn't think that we need to worry about the tariffs at all. I disagree, but we won't get into a whole political conversation at the moment about that. Yep. But I'm sure if the US prices go up, I'm sure our prices will go up as well. But it's fine. Yeah. I'm fine. It's fine. Tom, if you want to message Tom, you can talk about tariffs all night if you'd like. Also, Peter's talked about the Davian body double thing, Tom. So do you know about that? I'm out of the loop with body doubling.
So there was a whole thing where they body doubled people. To be fair, the Capellans do it, then the Davians do it, and then I think the Word of Blight does it later. So yeah, it's confusing. People apparently it keeps working. So good strategy, guys. Keep doing it.
Apparently this means that Thomas Marek was a comp star plan and Hans Davian did nothing wrong. Is that correct, Tom?
No, Hans Davian did loads of things wrong.
No.
He's known as the Sly... What is he known as? The Sly Fox. That man is a shrewd political operator.
Anyone known as a fox must be a good guy. Anyway, so it sounds like we don't know. Also, Peter mentioned that his oldest has been named after Grayson from the Grey Death books, which we might be talking about soon because they are very influential.
They also bridge over to the next stage of the BattleTech lore.
Which is true. So true, actually.
And Grayson is currently painting up mechs at 3 years old, which is awesome. And Pete has also said that I think he gets his wife to call him by his call sign, which is Zot, which is interesting because I don't know where that's from. But yeah. I don't know. We don't really do much with call signs over here, do we? I don't know if it's more of a US thing or just something we've not really cottoned on to. I'm sure our call signs wouldn't be very nice anyway, and we probably wouldn't be able to use them in public, especially with our significant others.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, we've all got sort of online names, which I guess could be like double as the same thing. But yeah. It's usually just my name because otherwise I just won't know who you're talking about and I just won't respond, which is rude. Yep. So.
Well, the call signs I've put for you on Steam and Discord really aren't repeatable on.
let's not mention those, Louis.
But yeah, but thank you very much for emailing in, Peter.
Absolutely,
I would love to know where Zot comes from as well. If you do want to go through that, and also you can speak to Tom about tariffs.
Yeah, I'd also really appreciate if you let me know, or us in general, what the color scheme for the Hefty Hitters is.
It's in the chat, isn't it?
Oh, is it the purple and black one?
No, it's the red and yellow ones, I think. The one at the very bottom.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
Oh, cool. In that case, that's super cool. If you have any of those decals printed, where did you get them printed? Because that's super cool, and I might paint one up in that scheme as a homage. So let us know, and thank you for the fan mail. And secondarily, we've had Richard S., who's emailed in from the great state of Texas. So he's the lovely gentleman that sent us his lance earlier, the one that he's been using against the wankers since 1992. And he's saying that he loves the pod, especially our silly accents. In particular, he said, you'll have to excuse any incorrect uses of British slang. I will say it was completely correct, as his knowledge of the UK is entirely from Ted Lasso, which obviously, as we all know, is so true.
Soccerball.
Soccerball. Yeah, absolutely.
He thinks our accents are funny as well, doesn't he?
They are amusing, to be fair. I think, as he's also said, we are going to need to release our true accents.
It's me who's put that down. I think we need to release our true accents. They don't realise this is our what do you call it? This is our radio voice. Our actual accents are a lot stronger than this. People can't understand my accents.
Since you guys speak in English for a change.
Yeah.
Normally it's all over the place.
Yeah. You know, the Yam Yam Birmingham accent, people struggle to understand the way I live in Coventry now.
Yeah, and the Black Country for Nathan and myself is quite strong as well. So I'm sure there'll be an episode where you have to put subtitles on the podcast, like Peaky Blinders, which I did find amusing. But
that's the upcoming drunk episode. The more drunk we get,
the more Peaky Blinders we get.
Yeah, thank you for sending that in, and absolutely 100% accurate use of the word wanker.
Superb. Cool. Well, that's all we've got time for today, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and especially thank you very much for emailing in. Thanks to all the community for supporting us. And as we mentioned a lot for this episode as well, if you want to email us, obviously you've got the hexpertshelpline@gmail.com. There'll be lots of other ways you can contact us. We'll put in the show notes. And next week we have episode 9, which we calling the mystery episode, because I haven't got that far as to plan. I don't know what it is yet. So there will be an episode at some point next week, I think. And it will be about, it'll be about a thing.
A
thing of all time.
Yeah. Also, if you want to get in contact with us and you don't want to use an email because that's so Y2K, we do now have a booth at the Valhalla Club Discord, in which we post up our new episodes, and we are all available at some times in the day just to chat. If you want to chat with us, it's a good way to get in contact with us, because we're all very elusive people normally.
Probably not Dom, because he'll be playing FIFA or something.
Yeah.
Be too busy planning the best lances in Battletech. But obviously, and also thank you very much for joining us on this roller coaster of an episode, Ian. Might speak to you again in the future, hopefully.
Yeah, cool. Thanks very much for having me.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.